Hello. Hi, good morning, everybody. This is Javier Marín, Chief Investor Relations and ESG Officer for MásMóvil. Thank you, everybody, to be here, and welcome to our third quarter 2023 earnings conference call. As always, we have with us our CEO, Meinrad Spenger, and our CFO, David Pérez. Without further delay, I leave the floor to Meini for this brief conference call on results.
Thank you, Javier. Good morning, everybody. It's a pleasure to be with you. We shared with you earnings presentation, and I will go through this presentation right now. So if you start at page one with the key highlights, the first point, we have still an ongoing antitrust process regarding a potential joint venture with Orange in Spain. We are still optimistic that this deal will happen, and we could expect clearance by the end of Q1 of next year, of 2024. We have also worked very hard on ESG. We have achieved five ESG ratings this year, and all with very positive results. If you look at telco revenues, service revenues, we are growing at 6% year-on-year, while we see a market growth of 1%-2%. So we are significantly above market growth. Also, in profitability, in EBITDA, pre-IFRS, we are growing at 13%, and post-IFRS, at adjusted EBITDA level at 7%, up to over 900 million euros in the first nine months. In terms of client growth, we are continuing growing. So in Q3 of this year, we have been growing in close to 100,000 clients in broadband and in mobile. And if you look at net debt, we have a flat leverage. On total basis, we have even a slight decrease experienced during this quarter. If you go on page two of the presentation, we give you more detail on our ESG efforts. So, we have seen that we have been able to achieve very good results on various ESG ratings. Clarity is the last one. We have been best telco again in Spain in Clarity with 80 points. We are leading also in Europe, the Fitch ESG rating. In Sustainalytics, we are the fifth best telecom company worldwide. We understand the best in Spain and the second best telecom operator in the world. With S&P, we have also been able to improve our rating very recently, and we continue with our initiatives around the rural Spain. We want to connect Spain, and we have also been able to achieve grants of around 10 million to densify our fiber network in rural areas in five Spanish provinces. In the new business areas, so the adjacent businesses to our telecom business, we are continue to grow as well, in personal finance, insurance, e-health, home security, and we've in total over 2.5 million services already active. If you look at our revenues on page three, we see a growth of 6% in our telco revenues. Other service revenues are slightly down, basically because of the impact of the energy prices. They have been higher last year. We are growing in energy clients, but still, this didn't compensate fully the reduction of the energy prices and their impact in revenues. In other service revenues, basically, this is handset revenue, so we have sold slightly less handsets than last year, but more or less they are in line. So total growth in revenue is 3% year-on-year. Telco service revenue growth is 6%. If you look at EBITDA, page four, we see a significant improvement of our profitability, of our operational profitability. In EBITDA pre-IFRS, we are growing at double digit at 13%, and post-IFRS, adjusted post-IFRS EBITDA at 7% to over 900 million. When we look at our client numbers, the evolution of our client numbers, we continue growing. So close to 100,000 lines between broadband and mobile. We are of the top four operators in the Spanish market, the one that clearly grows the most. And well, we are especially proud of that because we are moving in a very complex competitive environment, as you know. We have heard other CEOs saying that Spain is probably the most competitive market in Europe and probably even in the world. So in this context, and considering as well that we are quite prudent in our pricing policy, we are conservative, we are not going to the ultra low cost segment, we can be very proud of these results. If we look at CapEx, CapEx is in line with expectations. We see that we are in infrastructure still growing. We are investing in fiber deployment, especially in the north of Spain, the so-called retrofit project, where we move from cable from cable HFC to fiber. Here, we have to say this project evolves very well. Over 90% of our sales in these areas are already done on fiber and not on cable anymore. Together with other initiatives, we think we can further reduce our CapEx in mid and long term. So the 11% of recurrent CapEx over revenues is perfectly sustainable in our case, and we see even a slight improvement over the next few years because basically the fiber rollout will come to an end. This CapEx level means also a reduction versus last year of around 10% on a comparable basis. If you look what that means, these CapEx results and the EBITDA growth on page 7 in terms of cash generation capabilities, then we see also a very positive evolution and probably a very good proxy for our cash generation capabilities is EBITDA pre-IFRS minus CapEx, which is growing by over 100 million euros year on year, or in other terms, by 33% growth year on year. Also, the EBITDAL minus CapEx is growing by almost 20%. The difference between both numbers is basically IFRS 15. We have some headwind here of the IFRS 15, which is an accounting non-cash effect. If we look at reported cash flow from operations, we see an operating cash flow of over 600 million and the adjusted cash flow from operations positive of 22 million in the first 9 months, having the last two quarters with positive results. Also important to say, if you look at our interest and tax payments, interests obviously have grown, but we are in the meantime have hedged over 70% of our debt. If we look at the debt in more detail, we have in absolute terms a slight growth, but as mentioned before, on leverage basis, the total debt leverage has slightly decreased from 5.2 to 5.1 times EBITDA. We have here some transactions or joint venture related costs that are relevant. We have also penalties and related to the Euskaltel transaction still to pay, and integration costs related to Euskaltel. But let's say conclusion is these are one-timers and not recurring and basically phasing out because the penalties and obviously also the integration costs with Euskaltel are going down. And here on page 10, we have the summary in absolute numbers from nominal debt perspective, and you see the leverage levels as mentioned, total debt 5.1 times and senior secured 4.3 times. Okay, that's the first overview on our results, and I'm happy to respond to your questions.
Thank you, Meini. We open now the Q&A part of the conference call. I remind you that to put your question on the queue, you should press star 5. So go ahead and place your questions on the queue, please. Okay, thank you very much. We have a few questions now on the line. Let's start with Josh Mills from BNP Paribas. Josh, your line should be open by now.
Hi, guys. Thank you very much for the questions. I've got two, please. The first is, perhaps you could give us a bit of a steer on timing for the deal approval. Is it something we could expect very early in Q1, or Manny, I think you said by the end of the quarter, is kind of February, March more of a realistic timeline? And related to that, maybe an indication of why the delay has been so prolonged, over the last few months. Is it just technical terms you're debating now, or is there something else to think about? And then the second thing would just be around your view of wholesale deals in the future. We saw Zegona recently bid for Vodafone Spain and talk about the wholesale opportunity they see with that business. It'd be great to hear your view on the opportunity for future wholesale partners as well. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Josh. We are in regards to the antitrust process, we are in a stop the clock situation since late July. Why we are in this situation? Because we wanted to have sufficient time to negotiate a potential remedy deal with the diverse candidates that are interested in a remedy package. We have not restarted the clock yet, and this is basically under our control. Why didn't we restart yet? Because we did not find an agreement yet with the European Commission and the remedy taker on a suitable package. Having said that, I think we are making progress. We expect to come a conclusion quite soon. And that would mean that we could expect clearance, as mentioned, by mid to end of the first quarter next year. You mentioned why delay? Well, the situation is quite clear. The Spanish market is a very complex market. As mentioned, our competitors, for instance, Vodafone, the group CEO, mentioned that Spain is the most competitive market in Europe. And the market is moving. And in this transaction, we have to consider these changes almost in real time, no? Spain is very different from other telecom market because it's a very dynamic market and changes are happening basically on a weekly basis. We see also the necessity of cost reductions in this sector. Now we have seen announcements regarding employment reduction in the sector. The last 10 years, revenues have been reduced by over 30% in this market and employment more or less by 1,000 FTEs a year. So this is a very challenging and complex market, and that has to be considered also in the design of a potential remedy package. And we are in this process. Regarding wholesale, MásMóvil, I can only talk obviously for MásMóvil as a standalone operation, is not a wholesale operator in the Spanish market, and we don't foresee a change in our positioning.
Okay, our next question comes from Vivek Khanna from Deutsche Bank. Vivek, please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for the question. So with regards to, I guess it's really focused around potential remedies. Now, obviously, I'm not going to ask you to comment on the quantum, but whatever the number may be, I'm just trying to understand, once you agree to that, how does that impact the financing package that's been put in place, the $6.6 billion? That was going to fund at closing. So I guess that's my first question. With regards to the $6.6 billion, can you just remind me again how much of that has already been, how much of that is going to be in TLA form sitting with banks and not syndicated out? Thank you, please.
Thank you, Vivek. Just the first point, we don't see any impact of a potential remedy package, that, at least the ones that we are discussing, on financing.
Mm-hmm.
David, our CFO, will comment a bit on the details of the financing structure.
Yeah, well, so the new one. So it is what we have already arranged is 6.6 billion euros of the for the JV, no? And the bulk of it, so it's up to 5.8 million euros, is just to make the equalization dividend, and the rest are, you know, to cover some more items. And it also includes 600 million euros of a CAPEX revolving credit facility. So at the end of the day, what we are convinced, and it's what we said to the banks that have already committed the financing package, is that the JV will generate cash enough for covering the, you know, these financing facilities, of course, no? And the remedy packages, as many has been said, that will not affect to this, you know, to the capacity of the group to afford these indebtedness.
Okay, so you know, okay, so you will not reduce the amount to account for some assets being disposed.
No, we are not planning. We are not planning to reduce that amount. Yes.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you very much.
Our next question is coming from Laura Horsney from MFS. Laura, please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my questions. A couple. One is for Q3, what I calculate in terms of EBITDA after lease is roughly flat year on year, resulting in quite a bit of margin compression. If you could just comment on what was driving the lower margins there. And then in terms of cash flow, you still got quite a negative sort of working capital flows. Just maybe a bit more sort of detail or color around what's driving the working capital outflows and what would you expect for the fourth quarter and therefore for the full year. sorry. And then finally, give me one second, just in terms of interest costs on the term loan, can you tell me what you're hedged, if there's any hedges in place actually regarding the base rate? And what you would expect in terms of overall cash interest for the full year. Thank you.
Hello, Laura. I will start, and then we complement within the team. Well, the EBITDA, as you see, is growing at double-digit pre-IFRS in the first 9 months, and at 7% adjusted EBITDA post-IFRS. So this is a very relevant growth in comparison with the market. If you look at the single quarter, where you have obviously seasonality effects, no? We have, for instance, NRA effects that certain payments or buckets are running out, and then different prices might apply. We have the roaming in effects and roaming out effects, especially in the Q3. MasMobil has a negative balance in terms of roaming in, roaming out. Why? Because we are not covering full Spain, no, with our network. We have P2P projects, so we have also the country as the let's say seasonality effects. We have had especially a good and positive first half of the year, and overall we are very satisfied with the evolution so far. In terms of cash guidance, I mean, we are not giving guidance, unless in this moment right now where we are facing a lot of uncertainty on a corporate level. Overall, the tendency in operating cash flow is positive. So if you look year on year the evolution and the EBITDA minus CAPEX evolution, you see that we have a clear trend to increase our, let's say, underlying cash generation capability. In terms of hedges, we have, as mentioned at the beginning, over 70% of our debt is hedged, the base rate is hedged, and we think that also in the future, when our, let's say, corporate situation is clear and decided, there are some opportunities to reprice the margins, but for that we have to wait until we have clarity on the potential Orange transaction. David, do you want to add?
Yes, well, mostly that's exactly. We think that we will have some more opportunities of restructuring debt and to try to optimize the cost. And regarding hedging, yes, out of besides that, 70% of the total debt that has been already hedged, it represents slightly more than 80% on the long-term, medium and long-term debt. So at the end of the day, we feel comfortable with that. And considering that the expectations about the interest rate curve or whatever, and the good prospects that we have regarding the possibility of restructuring the debt and the cost, we think that we feel, you know, we have to, we are going to see some more opportunities of reducing the cost, the total cost of debt in the following, in the coming months.
Okay, thank you. Maybe if I can, just a follow-up in terms of the working capital, could you just maybe see whether you expect some sort of reversal of all these outflows in the final quarter of the year, or will you still be running a cash outflow on working capital?
Well, it's something like we have, as you can, you know, be aware of that, is that we are, despite of the good trends of the company in terms of EBITDA and cash generation, we have to face with some headwinds, as you well know. So, for example, the interest rates, the cost of debt in the absolute terms, and these kind of things that perhaps we have to face with that. Some other payments, no no recurring payments that we have to afford as well. So at the end of the day, perhaps we can have some extraordinary changes on the working capital for the last quarter of the year. But at the end of the day, the trends are, you know, pretty clear about the cash generation of the business, and the CapEx, for example, is performing well, and we expect to have a lower investments in the last part of the year. So at the end of the day, so some positives and negatives that let's see how the as we are not providing guidelines, and let's see how do we finish the year now.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Genevieve Gilbert from Blue Bay. Genevieve, the line should be open now.
Yeah, morning. Thank you very much. A couple of follow-up questions, actually. On your debt package in relation with the JV, could you confirm that there is no step-up margin increase mechanism in this debt package? And also with respect to hedging, could you tell us whether you put in place forward hedges or any forward hedges in respect of this debt package versus base rates, or whether at this stage this will start as being unhedged? And then on the free cash flow, a follow-up question with respect to the one-off, which on the, year-to-date amounts to 81 million, 110 million on the last 12 months, and still a substantial amount in Q3. If you can just highlight, especially for Q3, whether these one-offs were entirely related to the merger process, or for any other reasons. Thank you very much.
Yes, I will start with the last question because that's an easy one. We have the 81 million of cash one-offs, and more or less 50-50, it's divided between penalties to the, related to the Euskaltel transaction and integration costs on the other hand. So these are the major buckets. David, do you want to comment
yes.
on the
regarding on the there are no step ups in the interest rates of the cost of the debt, no, for the future JV. And besides that, answering your second question about the hedging of the debt, you know, otherwise, so on the opposite, we do expect to reduce, you know, the total cost of the debt, you know, through different mechanisms. And at the end of the day, it's something that we have to decide and to manage with our future partner, John Orange. So at the end of the day, it is something that we have to manage jointly. But, instead of having any step-ups or whatever, we do have some opportunities for even reduce the cost of the debt at the end of the day. So.
The margin. And if I can sneak a last question on your structuring EBITDA, which is 1,319 for September, as of September, which is up 12 million on a sequential basis, while reported adjusted EBITDA on an LTM basis is actually lower by 1 million. So that that implied an increase in the forward-looking synergies. I suspect that you have embedded into this EBITDA. So if you can explain the rationale there. Thank you.
Well, the rationale is that we have in accounting within the structure of EBITDA some of the synergies regarding the Euskaltel transaction. And according to what was stated and agreed, we cannot account those synergies anymore, so since the second year. So that is why the calculation then says, is affected by that. But besides that, we are considering some more synergies to come about 60 million euros still pending from Euskaltel.
Okay, but this is still accounted into your structuring EBITDA because the structuring EBITDA on a sequential basis has increased from Q2 to Q3. So it looks like you have included more synergies.
Yeah, well, there are some more synergies that are still pending, to come from Euskaltel, anyway.
But the total number has not changed, Yaniv.
The total number has changed from 1307 to 1319.
So the total, the structuring EBITDA takes into account the synergies already achieved and the synergies that will come, all right? Mm-hmm. And that total number has not changed from last quarter to this quarter.
Yeah, but then, okay, we will follow up because your LTM adjusted EBITDA has dropped 1 million while your structuring EBITDA has gone up.
Okay. Look, we give you the details. There are some smaller adjustments, but we give you the details offline, okay?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Fernando Cordero from Santander. Fernando, your line is open.
Hello. Good morning. Thanks for taking my question. It is related with the with the regulatory approval process, and on top of the welcome comment on the timing, I would also like to understand at which extent are you foreseeing, let's say, the position of the European Commission, particularly regarding what kind of remedies, and particularly on the spectrum. Or in other words, at which extent do you believe the European Commission believes that spectrum disposal is key for the transaction to continue? You can provide some light here.
Thank you, Fernando. I will unfortunately be short. This is still a confidential process. We have not yet finally selected the remedy taken nor the final remedy package. This is work in progress. And unfortunately, therefore, I cannot comment on eventual details of the package. I'm sorry
fair
about
enough.
That.
No, I perfectly understand the situation. Thanks, many.
The next question comes from Sakrak Shetty from HPS Investment. Go ahead, please.
Hi, good morning. My questions were actually answered in the end, but I echo Jean-Yves' point, and maybe in the future quarterly report you could split out the difference between the structuring EBITDA, LTM, and the adjusted EBITDA so we can see the synergies in more detail. Thank you.
Agreed. Thank you. Point taken. Thanks. The next question is coming from Matthew Robinger from Barclays. Matthew, your line is open now.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for the presentation. And a few questions. The first one was on the competitive environment. I note that some of your net adds have slowed down a bit compared to previous quarters. I was wondering, is that a reflection of resumption of competition, or is it that you're being more selective and focusing more on the high-end customers? So any insights into the competitive environment and how you're behaving would be great. Then I had a follow-up question on the timing for the deal, the potential deal approval. Let's assume tomorrow the clock starts again. What is the maximum time that the EC has to rule on the deal? Is it still 2 or 3 months, a month? Because I have to admit I lost a bit track about their timetable. And very lastly, on the CapEx, you said in the presentation that the current CapEx levels were sustainable and may even decline in the future. Can you just clarify which one of the CapEx numbers you were talking about? Was that the recurrent CapEx, or was it the level of total CapEx? Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. First, on the competitive environment. Yes, Spain is continuing to be a very complex market, and especially strong movements we have to the ultra-low-cost segment. So we have aggressive players in the market like Digi, Fi Networks, also Avatel. And then we have special strong also second brands of traditional operators that offer also FMC products between 30 and 35 euros at entry level. No? So we have Lowi and Simio from Vodafone Orange at 32 euros. We have O2 at 35 euros. And MasMobile is quite disciplined in this sense, and we are entering at 39 euros. In this sense, we have Mavericks in the market, and we have traditional operators operating also their low-cost brands. And we believe that this contributes obviously to, on a downward trend in terms of revenues, and therefore it's quite relevant to say that MasMobile is continuing to grow in service revenues. No? In telco service revenues, we are at 6.6% increase year on year, and on ARPU levels, we are quite stable. Actually, in broadband ARPUs, we have a year on year a slight increase. So in this sense, MasMobile will continue to be a disciplined player. We believe if we want to create value in the market, we cannot and should not go to these ultra low-cost segments, and we would appreciate if the market evolves towards higher, value products. In terms of timing, well, yes, this is a complex issue. Once we start the clock again, meaning basically when there is we have found agreements on the selection of the remedy taker and the selection of the remedy package, then in principle the European Commission has 50 working days to come to a conclusion, to a decision on the clearance. I understand that, however, there is some discretionality on stopping the clock again on eventually additional RFIs. So we cannot really forecast that. That's in the under control and in the hands of the European Commission. But in principle, we could expect a decision within 50 working days after restarting the clock. When I referred to, sustainable CapEx levels and even slight improvements, I was referring to the recurrent CapEx. So the recurrent CapEx meaning what you need to maintain the business. It's at 11%. We believe that this is sustainable. But also overall CapEx, I would expect a further decline because our growth CapEx is especially related to fiber deployment. And on a standalone basis, so I'm not talking about a joint venture scenario which foresees additional fiber deployment. On a standalone scenario, our fiber deployment will come to an end mostly in 2024 already.
Thank you. If I can follow up with two small questions on the timing of the deal, when the clock restarts, does it signal that you have found an agreement with a remedy taker and you then need the EC to approve it? Or is it more of a, and so there's still a risk that the EC says, well, we don't agree, or is it more of a formal paperwork delay, and therefore the risks that the risks are behind us in terms of the deal approval? So that's the first question. And on the CapEx, can you update us on how far are you in terms of the upgrade to fiber on your existing plant? Thank you.
Sorry, the second question, could you repeat, please?
Sure. So part of the CapEx is gross CapEx. Part of the CapEx is also upgrading some of the cable assets into fiber. And I was wondering, yes, how far were you on that process?
Thanks. Ah, yeah, yeah. Okay. No, super. Well, question regarding the timing and, you know, the mechanisms. Once we restart the clock, we will restart when we have found an agreement with a remedy taker. And then, you know, the chances are high that we could expect that we close with this remedy package. However, the final word is at the European Commission. And what the European Commission does in this point of time, once we have found an agreement, is to do a so-called market test. That means the European Commission will ask players in the market, our competitors, consumer organization, the regulator, etc., so different institutions, their opinion on the designed remedy package. And based on the feedback, the European Commission can decide to go ahead or not to go ahead with this remedy package.
Okay, but presumably you're also talking at the moment with the EC in terms of what are the remedies that are reasonable to them. So this doesn't come out as something very surprising when you present the remedies.
No, it should not be a big surprise.
Okay, that's very clear.
And the second one regarding the fiber deployment and the retrofit from cable to fiber, we are very advanced. The project evolves very well. We are doing already more than 90% of our sales in fiber in these regions, so in the north of Spain, and we can expect to close this within the next half year. By Q2 latest, it should be closed, this project.
That's very clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next question is coming from Keval Datani from Permira. Keval, please go ahead.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my questions. A couple of housekeeping ones, if I may. Just on the EBITDA, what's the comparable EBITDA figure for the third quarter last year, if we exclude the kind of PPA adjustment or the IFRS 15 adjustment? And then secondly, I'm not sure if I've missed it or if you have disclosed it, but what is the kind of margin on the bank financing package that's been agreed? Thank you.
Keval, adjusted EBITDA pre-IFRS Q3 last year was 260 million.
Okay. And the margin on the financing?
The margin of the financing package is an average of 3.5%, something like that. Hmm? It has different instruments. But anyway, for the average is around that, but we do expect to constrain it, when the debt should be in place anyway.
And sorry, just to clarify, is that 3.5% over the floating rate, and also is that exactly just on the secured element or on the total structure?
Well, it's the average for the entire structure.
Got you. Perfect. Thank you very much.
Next question is coming from Georgios Lekondanoku from Citi. Georgios, please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, guys. Thank you for taking my questions. The first one is just a follow-up on Matthew's question about the operational trends in the third quarter. I know many of you answered about the intensity in the market in general, but anything specific you are seeing in the third and fourth quarter, anything that's changing in the market would be greatly appreciated. My second question is around your mobile network. Obviously, we're seeing different headlines about Remedy, so it would be great if you can give us a bit of an update of where you are with the network, the kind of investments you've made, just to get an idea of what could be available in terms of a network transfer. And then I have also a couple of follow-ups on previous answers. The first is around the timing. You said it's 50 days after the stop the clock. And you mentioned closing by the first quarter. Is there then a timing until it closes, or did you just mean the approval is given and then obviously the legal process until the closing could even move into the second quarter? And the second, just clarification on that, on the proceeds, because obviously there's a remedy package, you may get some proceeds in, and you mentioned you're not going to change the funding capacity. Curious as to why that is. Thank you.
But the last question is why we think we will not change the funding size.
Yes, because there could be decent proceeds depending on the size of the remedy. So I'm just curious why you wouldn't necessarily adjust accordingly, given that there will be some proceeds from the sales. Thank you.
Okay, understood. First, changes, recent changes in the competitive environment. I mean, everything is moving, no? Pantarei, what Heraclit said, is applying very much in the Spanish market. You know, we see Vodafone planning to exit. We see, obviously, the commercial back-to-school campaigns that are very intensive in the Spanish market from August onwards with TV, sports package offerings, very attractive or aggressive pricing there. We have seen the movement from the traditional operators back into a lower, ultra-low-cost FMC segment, so between 30 and 35 euros. This place was empty a few months ago and was there was a repositioning downwards from the traditional operators, while MásMóvil maintaining its price level from, let's say, 39 euros upwards. So there is some additional competitive intensity. Also, we have seen in the handset subsidies increased amounts from basically all the operators. We see a very dynamic and complex market in Spain, and I don't have clear indication that would change. In terms of clearance closing, I would say the hypothesis is that we would be able to close by the end of the first quarter. That's our hypothesis, but it's not, as I mentioned before, only in our hands. Yes, we have to reach an agreement and select the remedy taker, and we have to reach an agreement with such a potential candidate, but then basically the process is under control of the European Commission. Funding, I mean, we don't foresee, we did not foresee in our plans relevant proceeds from selling assets during this antitrust process as part of a potential remedy package, and we don't see it right now. So no changes to our hypothesis.
And on the mobile network, please.
On the mobile network, we have a mobile network of around a bit more than 5,000 sites in a country where close to 20,000 sites is probably the average of the traditional operators. So it's a network that is relatively small. In any case, we don't expect the transfer of our network as a result of this antitrust process.
Very interesting. Thank you.
The next question is coming from Philippe Lacave from ODDO. Philippe, please, go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. My questions have already been addressed. Thank you.
Thank you, Philippe. Okay, so let me check. The next question is coming from Josh Mill from BNP Paribas. Josh, go ahead, please.
Hey, guys. Thanks for letting me have a follow-up on. The question is, let's say that you come to an agreement with a remedy taker and agree on a package of remedies. Will you make an announcement, or should we expect an announcement when you restart the clock on what those remedies look like and who the remedy taker is? Or does the process work in a way that means you won't get any more detail released publicly by you yourselves or Orange until the remedies have been finally approved by the EC? Just trying to get an understanding of the timeline we should be thinking about for updates on this topic. Thanks.
Josh, I understand that it will be public once we restart the clock. I understand that the European Commission would do a public statement regarding this. As it was public when the clock was stopped.
Got it, thanks.
Well, and the conditions will be semi-public. I don't think that they will be announced from the European Commission publicly, but they will. The main conditions of potential remedies would be sent to interested parties in this process. Competitors, consumer organizations, the regulator, probably some administration of the Spanish government. So they will know on a high level the terms of the package. I understand that it will not be announced publicly. Okay.
So we do have more questions are coming. We have a question from Genevieve Guibert from Bluebay. Genevieve, go ahead, please.
Yeah, thank you very much. Steve from Bluebay. A quick follow-up to clarify. When you indicated the average 3.5% margin over base rate, is it for the additional JV-related debt package? Or is it over the average of your pro forma 12 billion debt quantum?
It is for the additional financing package coming with the JV, right?
Thank you very much.
There is a question from, and I think this is the final now, a question from Andre Kavesk from UBS. Andre, please go ahead.
Hi everyone, and thank you for the presentation. I've got two, follow-ups rather than full questions. So one on the competitive environment. We've seen announcements from two of your competitors going into next year in terms of price increases, at least on the main brands. And I know it's a bit of a sensitive time for you currently, but eventually last year we had a similar kind of situation and everyone followed. So just directionally speaking, you see scope for the whole market, at least on the kind of main premium brands, to kind of continue passing on inflation to the consumer to some degree? That's one question. And then the second question, again, with respect to the remedies, and you mentioned the government involvement, can you just, maybe this is not something that you will want to even comment on, but it seems to me from various kind of sources that the government is kind of local government, meaning is more kind of in favor of just having free networks rather than four, and maybe not being as in favor of having too much spectrum as part of the remedy package. So is that anything that you can kind of clarify or comment on in general? Thank you.
Well, on the competitive environment, I mean, the tendency is a price reduction of our competitors on average. If you look at the growth rates in revenues of our competitors, you will see that there is no significant increase in revenues been able to we cannot see a significant increase in revenues during 2023. We don't expect a change of this tendency for 2024. I think there have been some selective announcements on, let's say, traditional brands. We will see what happens. So it is not implemented yet in the market. I'm skeptical that our competitors will do a general, let's say, increase in prices to reflect the cost increases, inflation. We are in a market that is quite price sensitive, so I don't foresee a general movement of our competitors there. In MásMóvil, as mentioned, we have been growing at 6% our telco revenues. We continue to work on increasing the value and to improve our ARPU, that is slightly up year on year. And we're doing that by improving, let's say, some services, adding additional characteristics to our bundles, and by assuring that we have an excellent customer experience so that people with the premium products would not churn and leave us. In terms of remedies, I cannot obviously clarify the position of the Spanish government. What I can say is that the Spanish Ministry for, let's say, economics and included in the past the telecom Secretary of State, they have designed the spectrum holdings in the market in a way that three operators could manage the full spectrum available in the market. So to make sure that, let's say, the available spectrum could be managed efficiently and effectively by the current players. I have not seen any official position from the government regarding potential redistribution of spectrum to additional players. So I understand no official position regarding that.
Thank you for the comment.
Okay, so we have no further questions, and that takes to an end the conference call. We thought it was going to be shorter, but in any case, we have managed to keep it below the 1 hour, so I leave many to conclude.
Thank you, Javier. Thank you all for your interest and your questions. We hope that in our next conference call, we can give you a clearer picture on our, let's say, corporate movements. And we see you within 3 to 4 months. Thank you very much, and have a nice Christmas.
Bye-bye now.